Psalm 41. And Brother Walt, your song tonight is kind of the theme of the message. You were singing that no matter what people did, that they can't stop God from blessing you. You know, that's one thing we need to remind ourselves of, because we're living in a time where people assume lie on you, gossip about you, tear you down as anything. And you know, our humanity gets upset at that. But yet, we have to realize the big picture that God knows and sees everything. And that no matter what anybody does or says, they can't stop God. They're not gonna pull God to the side and tell something on you. He knows better, and He knows our life. And so no one can stop God from blessing us. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heels against me." Now, this is a psalm of David. It's a messianic psalm, but it's a psalm of David nonetheless. And I feel like this psalm is going back, or this verse anyway. I feel like David is talking about one of his great friends and advisors, Ahithophel, if I'm saying his name right. And this man and David were very close. They were close friends. But yet this man plotted with Absalom to overtake the kingdom. He done his friend David wrong. And he kind of stabbed him in the back. And that broke David's heart. He said, "It wasn't my enemies, it's my familiar friend." That word familiar is talking about someone that was very close to him. Now, him being one of David's advisors, they had talked about many things. As a matter of fact, David trusted him and probably talked to him about personal things. And he and David would talk, and he about not only the kingdom, but I believe David's own life. They were familiar friends. In other words, they knew each other very well. They knew each other the top, the bottom, and they were very close. And to have this man to do this to him was a very, very hurtful thing. And folks, in our own lives, we've been close to people. We've loved people, and we have had close friends, and then for whatever reason, they have turned against you. And I want to preach on that tonight, if God will help me, when people turn against you. The Lord, I was actually trying to preach Ruth chapter number 2 tonight. I had an outline laid out. And it's like the Spirit of God was, I won't say greed, but He let me know in my heart pretty quick, that wasn't the message. And so I said, "Lord, what is the message?" And I honestly, He made me wait on it a little while. But yet He directed me this afternoon to this thought. I didn't know who was here, who wasn't going to be here. I just know that God had it on my heart, laid it on my heart to preach this message tonight. Now, again, as much as we wish it was not so, people do turn against us. Sometimes for no reason. Sometimes for a reason, maybe a disagreement, but still, it ought to be able to be worked out. They shouldn't ever anything, a disagreement come between God's people that is left unsettled. If we are all saved and filled with the Spirit of God and love the Lord, then it ought to be our heart's desire. I have no desire. I can stand up here tonight, and I have no desire to put anybody down. Have no desire to hurt your testimony. I have no desire to become your enemy. Now, Paul said, told that crowd, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And of course, that whole crowd of Galatia turned on him, and he said, "There was a day you would have plucked your eyes out from me." And he said, "Why have you been so soon removed?" But yet, I don't want any division between the brethren. Amen. Don't want any division between the brethren. It's like Abraham and his nephew Lot. And we understand that God growed them so much that they couldn't dwell together, and began to have strife in the camp. And Abraham desired peace. Lot, being a picture of a carnal Christian, he liked the strife. He liked the gossip. He liked the tale-bearing. And Abraham said, hey, man, we be brethren. In other words, he said, this shouldn't be going on. Amen. And it come to the place, and I'm sure it broke Abraham's heart when he said, it looks like we're going to have to part. And that's what Lot wanted. And Abraham showed his graciousness and allowed him to choose. And of course, we know Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, and we know the rest of the story. So Abraham, a picture of the spirit-filled believer, and Lot, a picture of the carnal believer, we see the avenues. Abraham sought peace. Abraham didn't desire the breaking of fellowship with Lot, but Lot did not care. He was for himself. Selfish people like strife. Selfish people like division. Selfish people will stab you in the back and soon look at you. So sometimes it's for a reason. Sometimes it's not for a reason. There's no reason. Sometimes just because that's what another friend's doing. Come on. Sometimes folks will turn on you because their friend did. They'll stop liking you because their friends stop liking you. And so that's just the world that we live in. It's all through the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation. Cain and Abel. Moses and Miriam. Joseph and his brothers. Jacob and Laban. David and Saul. Amen. Paul and Barnabas. All through the Word of God, we find out that the devil, if he can, will cause division. And so when we get to the thought, why people turn against us? Now, a preacher, let me give you this illustration. A preacher one day preached on forgiving your enemies. He asked the congregation, how many have forgiven their enemies? And all except one elderly lady raised their hand. The pastor said, Miss Jones, are you not willing to forgive your enemies? Miss Jones replied, I don't have any enemies. And the pastor said, that's very unusual. How old are you, Miss Jones? She said, I'm 93. And the pastor said, the pastor was amazed, and he said, Miss Jones, can you stand and tell us how you can live 93 years and not having any enemies? Miss Jones stood up, turned around, said, I've outlived all the hags. We all don't get that privilege. So unless you can outlive them all, you're going to have some. Folks, how did Jesus, he never got through this life on this earth without enemies. He never got through this life without being gossiped and lied on. And why do we think we should? So, with that thought in mind, what should we do when people turn against us? Let me give you these quickly. We go home. Now, notice the first three verses of the chapter. The first thing David did was he rest in God's faithfulness. He said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Do you see verse number 2? The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies. You know how David got through? He knew the faithfulness of God. Just like Brother Walt just sang. It doesn't matter what people do, people say, or how they feel about you. You cannot, those that are faithful live for God, you cannot. Nobody can stop God from delivering you, blessing you, and putting a hedge around you. So, don't blame God when this happens. Just because God allows something to happen, that means he caused it. Get a hold of that. Just because God has allowed something to happen does not mean He caused it. He created man and woman, boy and girl, with a free will. So in verse 1, God is a God of deliverance. Verse 2, God is a God of preserving and blessing. Verse 3, God is a God of strength and restoration. So therefore, rest in God's faithfulness. Have you ever had to deal with being paranoid? Somebody said, yes, I felt like I was a Lone Ranger. You can kind of sense and smell when somebody don't like you. And you don't know why they don't like you. And it cracks up to what happens is somebody that they know don't like you. And they've spent a lot of time down at the gas station or down somewhere at a place where maybe people gather, and they've run you down like a dog. And those people don't even know you. But you know, folk in the flesh like that gossip. They love it. And then all of a sudden you not only have maybe a familiar friend that's the enemy, you have people you don't even know that's the enemy, and when they look at you, you can see it. And then what you do is, in the humanity of ourselves, we begin to wonder, what's going on? What are they saying? Who's saying it? What's that? And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost has to remind you, hey, have you missed the meal? Do you have a home to go to? Have I been blessing you? Have I been using your life? Have I stopped it? Yeah, there are all kinds of people talking about you, but that does not stop my faithfulness to you. I've lived it. You've lived it. The psalmist David was living it. His own familiar friend turned his back on him and led a revolt against the kingdom. And you see how that ended up with them, don't you? You better be careful putting your mouth on God's man, God's anointed. Amen. You better be careful putting your mouth on God's people. Amen. Got to deal with you. Amen. So we need to rest in God's faithfulness. Now notice verse number 4. Now here gets personal for us in how we think, because if we're not careful, the devil can kill two birds with one stone. What do you mean? Well, number one, those that are coming against you, and all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we get the mentality like, I'm perfect. Oh, pitiful me. Hang in there. Look at verse 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Somewhere in this, when David was talking to God, God began to say, hey, don't you get the pitiful me complex, like you have no fault in you. Come on. Amen. So the next thing we'll do when we're dealing with people that's speaking bad of us or doing us wrong, repent of your faults and failures. See, just like it's amazing how right there in the first 3 verses about God's faithfulness, apparently the Spirit of God touched David's heart. And he said, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. Right. Amen. I've sinned, Lord. Amen. See, I'm not going to allow myself that like I'm Mr. Perfect, no pitiful me. And look how they, hey, he said, I've still got to keep my heart clean in this. So sometimes even though someone else has done us wrong, you may have done something and not know it. So when you're hurting, that's a good time to re-examine your own heart and your motives. Here's a checklist. Get this. When you've been done wrong, here's a checklist for your own heart. Was my spirit right? Was my tone right? Was my motive right? Was I ethical? Was I biblical? Was I kind? Amen. See, no matter what others do to us, it is not a green light from God to get out of Christian character. It is not a green light from God to say, you know what? Go down there and cuss them out. Or go find you some people and run them down. Go tell some lies on them. They told some lies on you. And David got his he got his heart checked spiritually. He was reminded, you know, I've not arrived either. I need to look at my own condition spiritually. It's amazing to me, these that do you wrong, these that gossip about you, lie on you, and they never check their own heart. Sometimes I wonder if I've ever been saved. But they never check their own heart. They never say, you know what? Who am I to be saying anything about that man or woman? Look at my life. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I ain't witness to nobody. I ain't living holy. I ain't living righteous. And hey, it's a good time. You know what? You want God to move in a situation. He ain't going to do it until we ourselves examine our hearts. So, was my spirit right? Was my tone right? Was my motive right? Was it ethical? Was it biblical? Was it kind? I've told this before, but years ago, myself, Brother Eubanks, and Preacher Bradley, and there may have been somebody else with us, we went over toward up in North Carolina to a meeting. It was a day meeting. And there was a missionary there. I've not seen him before, have not seen him since, but God placed me, Brother Jack, in a front pew where you and Brother Jonathan sat and let that man preach to me. And he was preaching along these lines, and I've told this before, but some of you hadn't heard it. This man was giving us a story about how some other preachers had told lies on him, had misconstrued and turned his words. They just railroaded him. And not only did they talk about it, they placed it in some type of quarterly letter and sent it out. But naturally, that hurt that man. That was awful. Man, that's pitiful. And another man approached him and said, what are you going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? And this man said, looked at him and said, I'm not going to do anything about it. He said, you know that's not right. We all know that's not right. Boy, they lying on you. They was trying to put him away from something that he was over or something or another. I can't remember. He said, let me tell y'all something. In light of what I deserve, I've got off easy. See, every one of us deserve to be in hell with our back broke. Everybody here deserves to be in hell with their back broke. But God's merciful to us. He saved us. And folks, just be thankful that our persecution is not like the early church persecution. The worst thing that comes our way is someone saying something to us or about us. As of today, I've not been put in prison for preaching the gospel. Up to the day, I've not been beaten for preaching the gospel. Up to the day, I've not been stoned and killed for preaching the gospel. I think I've got it pretty easy. Amen. You read the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, you'll find out people lost their lives, shed blood, and went through all sorts of torture that you and I could have a Bible tonight and preach His Word. Amen. Stand on the Word of God. Right. And if the worst thing that happens to me is somebody gossips about me or you or lies on us, and it ain't right. But I'm telling you, God's faithful. One thing I've learned over the years, I've learned to let that stuff, when somebody tries to do that to me, go in one and after the other. I want to hear it. Amen. I'm not saying I've always been that way. Folks, I don't want to hear it. Don't come to me and throw off on people. I don't come to me and criticize the men of God. Don't do that. You better not do that. I don't want to hear that. Because when you become perfect, then you can talk. When you have arrived, then I want to hear what you got to say. But until Jesus comes and changes this vile body, ain't none of us going to make that. The only thing that I'll stand and maybe tell you about somebody is if they get away from that Bible and they begin to lead people in false doctrine, and I don't want you falling, just like where Brother Walt testified. I'll keep you from that. Amen. Amen. Hey, preaching the truth and love the Lord, just because our personalities may clash, I ain't tearing him down. Amen. You're not going to tear him down to me either. So the first thing is rest in the faithfulness of God. Second thing is repent of your faults and failures. Then verse number 5, realize you will have foes. David said, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? What about that? David even tells us what his enemies were saying. When's that man ever going to die? When are we going to get stopped having to hear his name? That's what they were saying about him. When's that old boy going to die? I'm tired of hearing his name. We hate it. And I guarantee you, if you pointed to him and say, why you hate him? It was simply because they was envious of what God was doing in his life. People hated him. Paul in Acts 22:22 and says this, and they gave him audience unto his word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Imagine that. Verses 6 through 8, look at that with me, please. And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. And all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. See, there are some people that want to see you fail. There's people that want to see this church fail. People going to lie on you. People going to talk about you. I don't preach that. People simply going to hate you. But that will not stop God from blessing you. Now, remember, God's ways are not His ways. Our ways are not His ways. Now, the natural man wants to repay with the same thing that he got. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. Bible said, turn the other cheek. If somebody hates you, you better, hey, I ain't going around. Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, if your enemy hungers, feed him. See, we'll never win fighting fire with fire. Amen. The only way we'll ever win is no matter what they do, by the grace of God, we do what God said do. Amen. Love your enemies. Amen. Pray for them to despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Because we physically cannot stop it. The more we fight back, the bigger we're going to build their fire. And if we don't fight back, eventually they're going to lose any ammunition because they want that reaction from you. They want you, folks. I've had more trouble with my reactions than my actions. It took a few years to learn this stuff. If you don't give them a reaction, their visitors are going to get frustrated and go on. Right. See, our biggest battle as Christians is the reactions that we have sometimes toward the world and towards those that hate us. See, our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. And sometimes what God tells us to do and how to react sounds like a paradox, but Lord, that don't make any sense, but it works. It works. See, Brother Andrew, I'd a whole lot rather somebody have to make a lie up on me than for them to speak the truth on me. It's like, he just jumped all over me, told me off. Well, now you got two wrongs. And now, you know, you're looking no better than them. That's right. In almost 28 years, you think this church hadn't been lied on, criticized, talked about, run down? You think your pastor hadn't? Can I ask you a question on that? Has it stopped God from blessing? Has it stopped God from saving? Folks, I've baptized on how many this year? Amen. Amen. I'm giving God the glory, not us. Amen. God's blessed His church in every way. Amen. They can't stop it. They can't. Because this is God's business. Amen. It's God's business. Right. David, he remembered God's faithfulness. And I got news for us all. Ain't none of us going anywhere till God says so. Then David saw his own life, and it caused him to repent of some things in his own heart. Folks, sometimes I believe God allows this stuff to settle us down so He can speak to us about our own life. Let that sink in. Then we just got to realize in this life, we have an ultimate enemy, the adversary of the devil. We're going to have other foes. And the Lord first called me to preach. You know, young preacher, you young preachers better enjoy it, because everybody's going to love you. If you preach something a little hard, they say, well, he'll learn better. But when you don't learn better and keep preaching the gospel and preaching the Word of God like it is, then they're going to start disliking you. They're going to start hating you. They're going to attack you. And then they're going to attack your family. But can I tell you something? As an older preacher now, older than y'all. Don't retaliate. Amen. Because you'll have to spin your wheels and take care of all that stuff before God can take care of that. Just do it like God did it. Amen. Watch God. Hey, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what he said? Right in the middle, right in the eyesight of my enemies. God's blessing me. Right in their face. He's prospering me. God's got you. God's got you. A church, God's people, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. These things ought not so to be. But the only one we can work on is ourselves. And if we all would work on ourselves, it all but disappear. Help us, Lord. Let's all stand. Miss Court's coming. That's all I got tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open if you need to.